simple fact is plainly obvious to see. We're gonna kick your collective posterior. Of course you realize we're speaking figuratively. Our stats are thoroughly impressive. Our coach really has a mighty touch. Our players are fast and strong and brave.
Hello and welcome to White Men Can't Pod.
Oh, did you unrecord before?
I unrecorded what you said before when you incriminated yourself in a crime.
He's pleading the fifth.
You also incriminated yourself in a crime.
He's pleading the fifth.
I didn't do anything wrong.
What crime did he do?
Do you want to rehash what
he just
said?
No, I don't. A light crime. Like a little light crime.
Yeah, that's what mine was.
Tiny little light crime. All right, we're here.
He said he didn't do his, though.
No, he said he did do his. Good thing it was only a little light one.
It was a light thing. Can you get arrested for that? I don't know. Anyway.
Wait, now I don't remember what you said, so.
Okay, I'm not
going to
say it now.
So in any case,
anyway,
Wally's a bad guy, and he breaks laws all the time.
All the time.
It's all on him.
All
it's
of the times.
Episode 55 of the show, I think. We are doing the movie Without Limits, the life of the renowned runner Steve Prefontaine, his relationship with the legendary coach Bill Bowerman.
Mm-hmm.
Which I did not connect the dots on Bowerman until they literally spelled it out at the end. Went, oh, okay.
Same,
that
even me.
Sense.
Like I
no
knew
clue.
That, and I even
no
me,
clue.
I didn't.
No, never put that together. How did first saw this? Now I'm assuming.
Yes, I thought this was the movie of the Prefontaine movie that I have seen before, but I'm pretty sure I saw just the movie called Prefontaine. I don't think I saw this.
Okay.
Yeah.
This was certainly because I knew who Steve Prefontaine was, and I knew a little of his story, but I didn't know. I barely knew it, apparently.
I knew, like, nothing about this.
I knew a lot of it.
I knew what I thought going into this movie was he was a good American runner, but he was not very good internationally. Like, he got famous and couldn't back it up, which is a little bit the truth, but not really.
He had one really major race that he got to run internationally, and that's the Munich Olympics.
Which I must have known that he didn't win that, because I think at some level I knew he came in fourth, but I didn't know that it was and that he also had like another Olympic like coming up after that and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I knew that he had passed away early.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know how. I thought he had like some crazy cancer or something, and that was not it at all.
Nope,
that wasn't it. You guys are both runners, sort of.
I guess
you were a track coach.
Yeah, I was literally a track coach,
which
is why
you were the Donald Sutherland of Troy.
Which is why I know who Steve Prefontaine is.
You used to trace your runner's feet, but I don't think you ever made them shoes.
I never made them
you didn't
shoes.
Make them shoes.
I just like to trace the feet. Yeah, that's
that's a little weird though.
Yeah. That's a
sounds like one of the crimes
thing that's
going.
No, but
that's a thing I want to go away right now. Please stop talking about it.
I love their portrayal of their relationship between Bowerman and Prefontaine.
It's
in this
very
movie.
Combative.
It's
and
so
he
good.
Says right from the, I
but which
tried
is
to
true.
Change him, like, and he tried not to change.
Yeah,
it's like how the movie starts.
Like a lot of mutual respect, but also like I'm the right one, you're the wrong one.
I was thinking about this because I know you're obviously we know you're a coach, but yep. I was like, how much coaching can you do?
Well,
with runners.
Very easily you can fix their stride, as he does the very first time he watches Steve run. He fixes his stride.
You got to open up your hips.
Yep. When it comes to like distance running, it's all about pacing them, like making sure they're hitting their correct
their
pacing
numbers,
and stuff.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So
their
the
splits.
Parts where they say like run a 69 or whatever. And as the runner, if you're good enough, you right away know not only what that means, but how to do that.
Yeah, you can... You can tell them that they're out too fast. You can tell them that they're out too slow.
Because, like, if someone said to me, go run, like, a 69-second lap, A, probably I couldn't do that if I tried my hardest.
B, it sounds pretty sexy
but,
to me.
But, like, that's true. It is a sexy lap. But, like, assuming I was in shape enough that that's not a hard thing for me to do, which it shouldn't be, I don't think I would know the pace to run at to do that.
So, elite runners, yes. You can go out, be like, run a 64. They'll run a 64 pretty much on the dot. If like even really good high school runners, if you tell them like I want you to be pacing around 69. By the third lap, they're probably right around there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You might maybe even the second lap. Like they might go out too hard on the first lap. They might get boxed in, like Steve gets boxed in the Munich race. But if like they're out, if they're able to go at a pace, they can pretty much like tell how much they need to pick it up or slow it down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Interesting. Yeah.
I was just, I'm not saying track coaches don't do anything, but when I was in track, my track coach, well, first of all, didn't do anything. And I didn't make any matters better for him.
Now, to be fair, you guys were throwers.
We were throwers.
He didn't give a shit about throwers.
And then I was a thrower for 2 years.
Yes. You ran at first.
And yeah, also, I had four different track coaches in 4 years. Yeah. So.
Four different coaches in 4 years.
Yeah. So by that time, really? I didn't care what anyone had to say either because it no longer was very important.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was a social club background senior year.
Yeah.
Back when I should have been hitting my peak, it was just a social club for me.
Yes.
It was fun, though. That was the most fun of a sport that I played. Because
that's how I learned Foursquare from you guys playing from track.
We just had a good time. We weren't good. We didn't care.
Yeah.
Sophomore
year, I had my best coach, who I also hated the most, and I think that's what really made me think, like, I just don't, like...
Was that Princess?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the Princess.
That's not what you
and
called
she
her,
she was
okay.
a good coach, but she also was a B-word. And
yes, there you go.
That's the closest he's come to swearing on the podcast.
I almost just said something that...
Even worse?
It was going to sound a lot worse than I even meant it, so I'm glad
that
we stopped it.
There's more to that, but...
But so then the next year when...
What a terrible pass.
We had a new coach who didn't know what he was doing.
Was that Evers?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, he was a football coach. He was a pretend football coach that just was like, all right, well, I'm the coach now, and
He was a nice guy.
He was babysitting is what he was doing.
He was a nice guy, but he was the pure, like, assistant coach. He was great as an assistant coach buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you get pissed off at the head coach, you go to the assistant coach to complain. He was really good at that.
Yeah.
But when he became head coach, it didn't work.
Yep.
Yeah. And then senior year, we had the girls coach would come over and be like, here, you guys should do this, and I will not talk to you again until tomorrow. Have fun.
Yeah, because the girls team was good.
Yep.
The boys team was a joke at that time.
And
he didn't really pay attention to throwers at all, and you guys were throwers at that point.
Yeah, and
he cared about me because I was an actual runner, and I had
actually an athlete.
Yes,
and we were literally playing Foursquare and basketball when we're supposed to be doing shot put.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His big thing was, if you put the work in, I'll work with you. If you don't want to put the work in, I don't give a shit about you either. So.
But he didn't care about us to start.
Yeah.
And then we said, all right, then we don't care about you either. I'm glad that, and it wasn't even like an anger. It was just like, all right, I'm glad we have this understanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever. We're just bodies at this point.
Yep.
Do we want to play some games on this thing?
Yeah, we're going to start off with that that budget game. What do you guys think? This is 1998.
So it's 98, but it's showing a 19.
Right, a little bit of a timepiece.
Yep.
It's a timepiece.
It's going to throw you back about 25 years.
Well, I don't think
that
it
takes
which is crazy. If you think about that right now, 99 for us. If we were to make a movie from 25 years ago, it was 1999.
I remember somebody using like the Back to the Future timeline to now and being like, it's not that weird if you think about the Back to the Future years apply to your life right now.
Because when...
You would be like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
I remember all that stuff. Be like going back to like, how many years was it?
So it was 30.
55?
30. So you just it was 30 in between years. Each of them, yeah.
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 So, budget game. This is tough.
It was a good version of me.
30 years ago, you were a good version?
What, 8 years old?
Yeah, all downhill from there.
You were at your peak. Is that what you're saying?
5 years old was when I would have been 5 years old, and that's when I fell in love with soccer. So it's a good time.
Good times. Okay.
Budget game. Budget. What do you guys think they
cost that
they
much?
Cost?
The only real profile actor at this moment is, when did Scream come out?
90. Before around this time. Yeah.
Okay, so Lillard's got a little bit of pizzazz.
Who was he in this?
He was one of the two guys who went running with him at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They like recruited like him early
on.
On
the team.
Yes, yes, yes.
Donald Sutherland's the only...
Donald Sutherland's a big name, yep.
Big name in this movie. So I'm...
stupid idiots.
$12 million.
Bill?
You say $12
million? Yes, that is what I said.
$20 million.
Bill wins. Estimated budget was $25 million.
Really?
That's yep.
Even 20 felt
that seems like a lot.
Let's do the box office. What do you guys think?
Must have been a stinker. That's my guess.
I've never even heard of it. So
$5 million. $5 million worldwide.
I see $10 million is not very nice to you, but I feel like I can't go a lot higher than that.
That's fine.
$12 million. Oh my god.
That's not good. 500,000.
$2 million.
Ryan, you win.
What?
Estimated box office was $777,423.
Wow, this is an utter
bad.
Failure.
Bad
failure.
Yeah.
It's not that bad a movie.
No, it wasn't. It just probably
I'm
curious what came out around that time because it must have gotten crushed.
If this was 98, it's getting smashed by
a lot of good movies. Yeah.
Independence Day came out in 98, didn't it?
So this came out September 13th of 98. So
I'm really curious to see what it went up against.
Actually, I'm going to look that up.
Because that was a huge year for movies.
Yeah.
None of them are... They're not all great movies, but they were big in the box office. 98 was
Rush Hour, There's Something About Mary, Blade, Saving Private Ryan, Rounders, Ronin, One True Thing.
Oh,
wait. This is throughout the...
Yeah, Zilla. There's good movies in 98.
There's some things in there.
Godzilla was a bad movie, but it made a lot of money.
Well, actually,
had a good sound.
I think.
Oh no,
Ronin wouldn't have been.
Maybe I'm not allowed to think that anymore.
You can't say it. Godzilla had a good soundtrack.
So Rush Hour came out that exact same weekend.
So
that
would
have, it would have crushed it.
Different movie.
Oh no, that's the week F. Rounders came out that exact same same weekend.
I liked Rounders. I barely remember that.
Simon Birch, but like Rush Hour was the very next weekend, along with Run True Thing.
Was killing it. Rush Hour. Was a big movie.
Heard of that. Yeah, so let's get into it.
An eBay war?
Nope. Oh. Not yet.
Okay.
So it starts off with we're at the Munich Olympics in 1972. We're inside the broadcast control room, and we're going to the 5,000-meter race. This is a super stacked race. A lot of big names at the time in distance running were in this race. We see Prefontaine wants a pure guts race at the end because he believes he'll win it if it's a pure guts race.
Yeah, I'm the only one who can win, he says.
Yep, we get a little bit of a narration from Pre's coach, Bill Bowerman, played by...
Donald Sutherland.
Thank you.
From a lot of shit.
And then we're going to kind of flashback...
Ooh, are they related? Kiefer and Don?
I
think so.
I think
they're
might be his dad.
Yeah.
Kiefer is his dad?
Yes.
No.
Yep. That's the correct way it goes.
That's not what I meant.
Yep. Oh. That's the correct way it goes. Yep. We get a little bit of a flashback to Pri's childhood, and he's running from some bullies, and then we cut straight to his high school cross country state championships, and he is the coach from Oregon, the assistant coach from Oregon, is at the meet talking to Steve's coach, and he's like, how am I going to know who this kid is? I've never met him before.
And there's like 300 kids in this race that appeared.
Oh, yeah. States are gigantic races.
Donald Sutherland is not dead. He's still
alive. What?
He's still alive.
You guys are jerks. Is he
is
on? R.I.P.
Kiefer's dead.
R.I.P. Donald Sutherland.
No, he's not dead. He's not dead, I don't think.
So we go to the race, and Pri is way out ahead of the field, and it seems like this is still the very early stages of the race. This is not like this isn't three quarters of the way through the race and he's just pulled away. This seems like it's maybe like a quarter of the mile into the race and he's already pulled out ahead of the entire pack by a good distance.
Yes, they show very quickly that he is a front runner.
Yeah,
literally, he wants to be yep. in front of everyone.
So the assistant coach and two of the runners from Oregon, because they're from Oregon, University of Oregon, the Ducks. They show up at Pri's house, and the coach makes a joke about, at least you guys don't have to take your shoes out because it is absolutely pouring. Usually they go for a run with the prospective students and stuff like that. But so Pri comes out.
10. He keeps saying, we'll just do a quick 10.
Yeah, like, 10K. That's a quick 10K.
There's no such thing as yep. a quick 10.
You know what that is? That's about a half an hour run for them.
Yeah.
As someone who's never run anywhere in his life and continues to not run, this movie terrified me.
One time in my life, when I was running with some regularity, I was having a very good day, and I went 7 miles. It was one time and only one time, and it took me way longer than a half an hour.
So I specialized as a miler in outdoor track. What do you guys think my best time was?
Your best time?
Yeah.
3:45?
Come on now. That's ridiculous. That's an actual... like it's Olympic time.
Oh, okay.
That is an Olympic time. Let's be realistic.
12 minutes.
6 minute mile.
I fucking hate you both. It was 4:56. I got
good.
Under a 5 minute mile my final year of high school, and I was very good. Happy with myself.
That's pretty good.
For being a soccer player, because that's what I am. So, anyways, Pri comes out of his house, and he's a bit cocky, and he like
you
starts spouting off some.
Of long distance runners. You
I was. Me? No. There was the. Who is the... Oh, wait. He is a year older than you guys.
Who?
I don't know. I don't remember his name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bailuski?
No.
He was Husky? A distance runner.
Husky, yeah. Okay.
Chris Husky, yeah.
Yeah, Husky. Him and Sherwood.
Oh, I forgot about Sherwood.
Yeah, yeah.
Pat Sherwood?
Yeah.
Yep.
God, I forgot he existed.
He's still friends with my brother.
All right, anyways. It's pouring out. Pri comes out, and he's a bit cocky. He knows about the other runners. He's like, you did this, and then you did this. And they're like, yeah, thanks, man. And he's like, let's go for a quick 10.
Quick 10.
Yep. So they're
he's
like,
annoying.
Fuck, we don't want to go running this.
That is annoying as hell.
He is.
10 miles in the pouring rain.
He's annoying.
But that's true to character. I will say that is true to character. They go for... a run in the rain. The scout goes inside and talks to Steve's mom. They come back from their run, and he says that the only person that needs to be convinced is him. You're not going to convince his mom to let him go to Oregon. You need to convince me to come to Oregon. And he says, the only way you're going to convince me is if I know that Bowerman wants me. Bill Bowerman is the end-all be-all of running coaches. Mm. Not just at the time, all time. He is the running coach.
He wants Bowerman to
say he wants him.
Do a visit, but he writes him a letter.
But even yeah, well that's what he says. Like I haven't even heard from this guy.
Yeah.
And they try to be like, oh, he doesn't recruit. And he's like, well,
exactly. That is one thing Bill Bowerman really never recruited, but
he never needed to.
Exactly. Everybody wanted to come run for him because he was the man. So So Steve won't go to Oregon without word from Bowerman that he should directly from Bill that he should come to Oregon, that he wants him to come to Oregon.
So someone
which he is actually being recruited by a bunch of big schools.
Like, oh yeah, he lists off right. a name of like 15 schools, like
so
big
someone
name schools.
Forged this letter.
I don't think so.
Other coach definitely wrote.
Yeah, yeah. Assistant coach did that.
He gets a letter in the mail from Bill, and he decides to go to Eugene, Oregon. I've been to Eugene, Oregon. I actually saw Hayward Field. It was actually very cool. It looks almost the same as it did.
It looks
in the,
a little dumpy considering it's like the Mecca.
Exactly. But this was also dumpy? In the 70s. It doesn't look dumpy now. It looks like it is all.
Oregon's got that yeah. Nike money.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they sure certainly do.
Steve shows up at Oregon. He gets some tips on what Bowerman is like. They tell him that he was in World War II and he single-handedly negotiated the surrender of the 8th German Army Division or whatever. 8,000 troops. So he's like, all right. So he gets called up.
And the real Bowerman was in World War II.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know the 8,000 surrender, but.
Steve gets called around the corner, and Bill is on his haunches. He's kneeling down, and he's just sketching the kid's feet because he makes all of the running shoes for all of his athletes because he wants every ounce counts. And he goes into a whole spiel of, you know, 8 ounces off per step for 1 mile for over 3 miles is this many pounds you don't have to carry for 3 miles.
Yeah,
and
I like
the
way he did the math. And yeah. Like, it's so many pounds.
He was so, he really was so like math heavy with all of his coaching and stuff like that. So Steve takes a shoe off, steps on the paper, he sketches Steve's foot out to make specific shoes. And then we go to Hayward Field.
That's cool. I would like someone make me personalized shoes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We go to Hayward Field in February of 1970. This is the start of the track season. The team is running some Indian. I missed it. They get told that there's a meeting at 7:27 a.m. For the team to show that they have nothing to do with a building being burnt down in protest of the Vietnam War. And Bill's like, well, we're going to cut all the hair, cut all of your hair to show that you have nothing to do with those. Basically,
you stupid
hippies. Yeah. Basically, yeah. You're not going to be hippies. We're going to show that by cutting all your hair. So Pre takes gets not offended, but like he's always questioning stuff. He's that kind of guy. So he's like, well, that seems like an arbitrary line. Like everything's arbitrary. So Bill goes, all right, we'll cut it so that it's shorter than the size of your dicks. And the only person who doesn't need to get his haircut
is religious dude.
Super religious
guy. Why do we all know what his dick size is if he's super religious?
Locker room, man.
Locker room. But I love that Steve goes, wait, why does he not get to and Matthew Lillard just like, keeps extending his hands
it's
further.
A huge
away.
Dick.
He's just big. All right. We go to an actual practice. The team's running Indian ladders, and Bill calls Pre
those
over.
Are the worst.
Oh, they really
the
fucking
worst.
Are. And
I only had to run a handful, and they're the worst.
He.
What's the Indian ladder again?
The person in the back.
But in the back, you have to sprint up to the front.
Oh, yep. This is.
And you can't go to the front until the person of the
this is the thing
sprinting.
Phil Jackson did to have you heard the story? Phil Jackson did to Rodman after his Vegas bender.
That makes sense.
You never heard the story?
No.
Right? You remember when Rodman would just like play for like 3 weeks, and they'd have to like
when
talk to the media about like, well, he's getting his crap together or whatever.
He and was dating Carmen Electra at the time,
right? So there's one famous story where he comes back from like a 3 week or 2 week bender, and Phil Jackson's like, all right, well, you got to get in shape again. And they made Rodman do the Indian ladder, and he gets in front and nobody can beat him because he's just fucking Rodman. He doesn't give a shit. He's Rodman. He's like just an athletic freak.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, we're going to get him in shape. And Jordan was like, nobody could fucking pass him.
Yeah.
He was,
so
it didn't matter how many benders he went on.
If you don't know what an Indian ladder is, it's the everybody's in a line. They're running, like they're jogging like 3-quarter pace. And then the person in the very back has to sprint to the front. And then you just keep doing that.
You have to.
Basically until the coach says stop.
Yeah. But you, if you just go out in front, you piss everyone off.
Yeah, if you're pushing the pace when you're in the front.
Yeah, nobody can pass you.
Everybody off. Yeah, you're ruining what the Indian ladder is.
I remember Rip Hamilton was like that. It wasn't an Indian ladder story, but he was also a guy who just had like unlimited wind.
Yeah.
And someone asked him about training, and he'd be like, oh, I just take my dogs out for a run, and I run until they get tired. Oh, okay.
Jesus Christ. So Bill calls Pre over while the team is running these, and he immediately helps fix Pre's stride. He used to run with his butt sticking out. You got to tuck the hips underneath you. So it's a lot easier to lift your legs. Yeah.
Now, I don't know because I was never a good enough runner for this to matter. But I would feel like if I was running my whole life and I had to do it in a like,
It'd
I can't
hard.
Imagine that's a quick fix.
Right.
No, no, it's really not. But
be hard to do that.
Yeah. They're still in practice and they're doing mile splits and Steve runs a mile a little bit too fast and Bill grabs him by the throat and says, "Your pulse is too high.
He's
you ran too hard
pulse.
To that.
He's
yeah,
just checking his pulse.
He's yeah,
very aggressively.
190. He said your heartbeat's about 190 a minute. So you ran that way too fast, which he was only about 10 seconds fast on the mile split, but." Bill tells him, like, I want you running a 440. If you run a 430, I'm going to be pissed at you.
Right. And he basically says, like, I was just running.
Yep.
That's what I do.
We see Bill at home. He's making new soles when his wife gets home. He's using her waffle iron, which is a true story.
It's real.
Yeah.
That must smell
awful.
So bad.
She mentions it. She's like, these chemicals can't be good to be breathing in.
No. I was going to make the kids pancakes. What the fuck?
Waffles. She was going to make them waffles. Yeah, he's like, make them pancakes instead.
They'll eat pancakes.
Yeah. Because they're 25. I don't think they're going to be heartbroken. He's watching Steve's high school footage, and he says that front running doesn't work at the international level. So his wife's like, well, tell him. Make him stop. You're the coach.
Be the coach.
So he and Steve, he's having Steve move he was having Steve move something. I think it was just like a weight, like a weighing machine. A scale.
Fucking
Christ almighty. I could not remember the word scale, guys.
Wow.
He's getting old.
And he and Steve are having a back and forth about the best way to run a race. Bill says that, you know, front running, you expend this amount of effort more than the other guys behind you. You're cutting the wind for them. They're drafting off you. You're using way more effort than they are per race. Steve then says that running from the front allows him to control the pace and the person who controls the pace controls the race. Bill tells him, for his race on Saturday, he should run his first mile with 69 splits. His second mile should be 67s. And then however he's feeling, go ahead and finish the race in the third mile. If he doesn't, then he'll have to find a different university to run for. Day of the race, and Priest starts out way too hot. Yeah. And already Bill's pissed off. It's 200 meters into the race, and Bill is pissed at him already.
Yeah. He knows.
I will say the best... It was a 400, so it wasn't distance like that. Mm-hmm. The best race I ever ran, I went out as hard as I could from the start, and I passed the dude on the first turn, which is you're not supposed to do.
Ew.
And my last 100 meters, I could not feel my legs.
Yeah.
I would barely finish, but I had gotten so far ahead of the dude that I was trying to catch, it didn't matter.
So his first lap, he runs a 64, and Bill is so pissed, but the crowd is going absolutely crazy for it. This is the first time they're seeing him run. Oregon is a big track school, even at the time. He runs his first mile in 4:18. 4:18 for a first mile in a three-mile race. Absolutely disgusting. 8:45 after his second mile. He's sitting at 8:45. The crowd starts chanting his name, and Bill doesn't like it. He's calling him. He keeps calling him a rube and a showboater.
Which, that's after our last couple movies, that's a compliment.
Rube Baker.
We see the discus thrower throw a collegiate record, but no one notices because Pri is on the track and he's running.
He didn't seem to like that too much.
Nope.
He wasn't happy with that.
Pri runs the 3 mile in 13 minutes, 12.8 seconds. And Bill tells him to take his victory lap. He's pissed at him, but he's like, go take your victory lap. They're going to.
He just set some kind of record or something.
What'd you say?
He like set a record or something.
Yeah. The crowd's going absolutely nuts for him. Steve somehow then tracks down the girl he asked directions for when he first came to campus. So I thought he tracked her down. He pulls up outside of her window. Her roommate goes into the bathroom to finish getting dressed. He comes into the room, sees it's Mary, and he goes, "Let's go. I'm taking you out. Come. I came here for something else. Come on, let's go." He drags her basically out of the room.
Yeah.
So weird.
He goes and gets a bunch of different he brought her out. She wasn't even wearing shoes when he took her out of the room. So he goes and gets her some Adidas running shoes. He is a cocky bastard, and she wants to know why he was at her dorm and why he's interested in her at all. He basically says, "Oh, well, I was there for a different reason."
He doesn't want to tell her.
Yeah. She notices that, like, every girl who walks by knows his name. Some of them are wearing Adidas.
Yeah, half of them have Adidas shoes on.
Adidas shoes as well, yeah.
Like,
so she,
get them for free. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, she's not interested in him, and then she leaves the diner. We see Steve go to Bill's house for the goals session. They basically, right off the bat, Bill says that taking the lead from the start cost him 6 seconds in the entire race. If he had run the way Bill had planned it out, he would have ran a 13:06 instead of 13:12. And front running in the Olympics in 2 years, you're not a strong enough kicker. Any strong kicker would have, if they were near you, they would have crushed you on Saturday. He's like, "Yeah, but in 2 years, they're not going to crush me." I was like, Jesus Christ. Yeah,
I'm trying to help you here, man.
Yep. Steve says, he says that running for the kick is chicken shit. Basically, like, not running your hardest the entire race is chicken shit. To win that way is chicken shit.
I will say, nothing annoys me more watching, like, a professional level track meet than when they start off slow or whatever, and then the one guy who, like, ends up taking the lead just quits halfway through. The rabbit runner or whatever.
Well, okay, that's what they're supposed, the rabbits are just supposed to set the pace.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to actually be in the race.
But they're in it. They're one of the racers. They line up for it.
But they're not actually competing. Because it's basically you sign up an 800 runner and they run their 800 to set your pace for a mile and then they kick out. Because
so
if
are
they
these
were
runners not intelligent enough to set their own pace?
Well, no. They are, but you, I don't know, it's just, it's, fuck off. It's just what you do.
Fuck off.
It is.
That is so annoying to watch a guy run a half a race and just quit.
Yes, I agree. It's, yeah, but like, that's just part of how
it
is now.
Like, if I'm good enough to be this 800 meter runner and I'm out in the lead, whatever, I'm going to keep going. Chase me down.
Yeah. Yeah, but an 800 runner is not going to finish that race. That's the thing.
Then I'll quit when I'm a lap down. I'm not going to quit when I'm in the lead.
Oh, my gosh. Anyways, Steve is chicken shit. He says, going out and running as hard as he can for as long as he can is the only way that he knows that he actually tried his best. He said, Bill asks him what he thinks a track coach does, and Steve goes, you know, help me win. He's like, hey, fucking exactly. Let me help you win. So the day before the race, and it's an easy practice. This is a very normal thing. You don't do shit before the day before a race.
Yes.
Do the Knicks actually win that game?
It's not over yet.
It's not over yet. Okay.
No, it is over.
Oh, hell yeah, baby.
Knicks win, but the,
Islanders
are blowing it.
Oh shit. Really?
Yes.
Tied up.
It's 3-0. Now it's 3-3.
Is it Calgary? Is that who they're playing?
No, Carolina.
Carolina Hurricanes.
Oh. Oh, right, right. Anyways, day before the race, nobody's doing anything. It's the rest day, basically. They're having a meeting, and Pri gets distracted by a girl doing gymnastics behind him. It looks like she's doing, like,
the Pink Ranger.
Like, trampoline gymnastics.
Maybe Joe Johnson doing some gymnastics.
I did not realize it was her.
I didn't either.
It cuts immediately to sexy time at a hotel.
Is it sexy time? They're just naked moving their fucking legs up and down. They're not actually
It
pumping.
Is 4-3 now.
What?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
That is nuts. Off the face-off?
This is a sweep.
What?
get off the puck, and then that's right into the
nuts.
Holy shit!
Two goals in like 10 seconds.
Yeah,
that's wild.
He threw it in off the goalie's foot.
Yeah, he did. Sexy time the night before the hotel.
Is it sex though?
It is.
Just
it is for
naked,
sure. He is upside down. They're
so
both
is
doing
she.
Stand.
How do
like
you have
handstands.
Sex like that when you're both?
I mean, I don't.
That's
know how
they
do
got.
It.
That's how we got injured.
I don't know how you do it, but it appears they figured it out.
Okay.
His roommate is the super religious guy who comes back, and he opens the door. He's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry."
At least he's, you know, he's helping out.
Yeah,
he's playing his part.
He's trying.
He even lies for him at one point.
Yep.
How religious could he be? He even lies for him.
Steve gets injured. He splits his foot like half open, right in between the big toe and I don't know, pointer toe.
This is the whatever. Dumbest shit. Did this really happen? Because this is so dumb.
Yeah. It might have been exaggerated for this, but like he definitely has, like he definitely ran a race with his foot almost. Yeah.
What a.
Why? Bill gets very pissed at him. He knows what happened because he finds the girl's underpants. Teammates are pissed at him because their chance at a national title is gone. And Pri goes, "How many people signed up for my race?" And they say 16. He's like, "All right, well, I'm not going to have to run until the final, which is 3 days from now, and I'm going to run." And they're like, "You're fucking crazy. You just have 11 stitches in your foot, in the middle of your foot. Your foot's going to fall apart." And he's like, "I'm going to fucking do it.
Yeah, I'm going to run."
Bill doesn't want to. But he lets him run anyways. Day of the race, and we see Steve out in front, and his biggest competitor in college is actually right up near him, whereas the first race, Steve blew him out of the water by like 50 meters. He wins the race. They take his shoe off, and the guy goes, "You ran like that?"
Yeah, it says, like, "I almost got you that time."
Yeah. And then they take his shoe off. He's like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?"
Rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oregon ends up winning the championship because they get his 10 points from his event. He keeps chasing after that girl whose name is Mary. She keeps telling him that she's not interested.
This is.
What's even worse is that they just scored an empty netter. It is 5-3 now. That is a complete.
Well, they had to go empty net to try to tie it.
I mean, it's this
complete
is in
breakdown.
Carolina. They're going to go back to New York now, but I feel like they're dead.
Yeah. They got to win three if they're going to.
It is the Islanders,
three.
By the way. So,
it is the Islanders.
I mean.
Mary says, "You were there to take my roommate out. Why didn't you tell me that?" He's like, reasons?
Oopsie. Whoa. Oopsie. That guy did it to himself, basically. Almost. Okay. Sorry.
He says he wouldn't lie to her again, which seems like a lie.
Yeah. Except for this lie.
That's what liars say. They say, I will lie to you again.
Yeah. I would never lie to you. And that's she's like, yep,
you
I don't believe
did.
That.
You already did.
Yeah.
So funny.
They decide to go for a walk, and he starts breaking her walls down. She starts trusting him the more he talks. Then they end up kissing, and she tells him that he's still not her type, but she is into it. Later that night, they're in somewhere, probably his room.
In his weird trailer.
Yep. They're getting hot and heavy.
This apparently he's not actually in school anymore.
No, he is still.
Is he?
He just lives in a trailer.
Okay. Because at some point he transitions to no longer a student, but it doesn't seem clear.
He even has a dog.
I want to say that's after the Munich is when he, maybe before Munich Olympics, he graduates before Munich Olympics.
Okay.
In 72. So I think he's still in school at this point.
Yeah, because he was 25 when he died, right? So.
Oh, so maybe, yeah. That would be maybe 70 then he would be. 1970,
71 or something.
Yeah. So they're getting hot and heavy. She says no. She cuts it off. She believes in waiting. She's got a cross around her neck. all that good stuff. And she tells him that they shouldn't see each other again. And he's like, he wants to see her, and when he gets back from Finland, because you're right, he's probably out of school by this point because he's running internationally. And I don't think he'd run internationally if he was still on the Oregon team. He's going to Finland this week. He wants to see her when he gets back. He's in Finland, and he writes her a letter saying that the team isn't even going to run against the best Finnish runners because of some bureaucratic bullshit from the AAU.
Oh, the AAU is corrupt.
Imagine that.
Surprising, right? He and his friends decide to go to the better race anyways, and the officials tell them they can't run because the Finnish runners will lose their amateur status because the American bureaucrat guy from the AAU sanctioned the race, saying these are professional athletes. You can't run against them or you'll be a professional athlete as well. Basically, totally screwing them over. Pri gets super pissed about it. He almost attacks the guy. He tells him that Pri tells the other guy that he makes him sick to be an American.
Oh.
So obviously the Finnish press doesn't really understand, but they get the worst version of that story, saying Pri doesn't want to be an American, basically. So there's a lot of negative publicity on that. They're back in Eugene, and Pri tells the team that the official got a fee for getting them to run in the worst race, the one in, I want to say Munich, or no, they were in Finland. I don't know.
The race Stockholm, they were supposed
to be at. Right. So Bill sits up from behind the other guys. They're all in the sauna, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing here? Why wouldn't you, and now you're going to speak up now? Bill gets pissed at Pri, and then he digs his keys into his leg for some reason.
What the fuck was that?
I wasn't really paying attention to this part, so I don't understand.
Why was
that.
He doing that?
He was testing him, but
yeah.
I don't know why.
Me either. We get the famous Stop Pri shirt. Love that. It was just in a short clip in a montage, though. Then we see Steve and Mary on a beach. They're going for a run together. He tells her that talent is a myth and that he learns one thing that it makes him the better runner, and he learned it a long time ago. She finally says, what is this big secret? And he says that the reason he's better than the other guys is he can endure more pain than all of them. Sure.
And then they show him running as a kid. Are we to assume he was like being bullied and chased, and that's why he...
Yeah.
That's what basically the coach, when he's narrating it, says, like, this is not fact or whatever, but this is the way I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, he was picked on because he was from a German family.
Yep.
So and, like, post-World War II. And then, yeah, so he was running his whole childhood.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
He was in college from 70 to 73.
Really?
So still in college when he was at the Olympics.
Hmm. Okay. Mary asks him what would happen if he loses in Munich, and he says, that's just not possible. Then we go, Steve has a big race up next, and Bill tells him that if he can't win it, he can't win it by his normal front running. And if he can't win this race, he can't win in Munich in the next year.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. So Bill comes up with the idea of negative splits. Now, negative splits means you start at, like, let's say you start at 69, your next lap is going to be 68, your next lap is 67, and you just keep getting faster throughout the race. That's what negative splits are. Shit. He says, if you do this, your opponent's not going to realize that they're getting worn out as quickly. They're trying to keep up with you, because that's what the guy's going to do. I think his name was Young. He's going to want to keep up with you the entire race and then outkick you. If he thinks he can keep up with you for the race and then outkick you, he's got this. But if you run negative splits, he's not going to realize how much energy he's expending. He's going to have nothing left when it comes to that final lap, final two laps. So before the race, he tells him, if you run it this way, you will run a 13 minute and 23 second, which would be the American record at that time. And if you do that, it'll be American record. You'll win. So we get to the race, and Steve runs it exactly as Bill plans it. He runs the American record. He gets 13 minutes, 22.8 seconds. Exactly what Bill said he would run.
Not exactly.
Oh, fuck off. 0.2 seconds is exactly what you...
It's not exact. It's
choice of words.
This is also the... This is the qualifiers to go to the Olympics for this race. And Steve is going to the Olympics in Munich. They arrive in Munich, and there is no security on the elevators. Bill doesn't like this, so he tells his assistant coach to call the American embassy, get some Marines on this fucking elevator.
Some fucking Marines over here.
24/7.
He knew something was up.
Yeah. Middle of the night. Later that night, the Israeli compound gets taken hostage. This is the famous Munich Olympics in 1972. The Israelis get taken hostage. The gunmen try to get an airplane or some kind of, I think a helicopter or something like that. So eventually they're like, all right, the hostage situation's over. Everybody go to bed. We're gonna run in the morning. Everything's going to be back to normal. In the middle of the night, Bill wakes Steve up. And he says that the Israeli hostages were killed when the German police tried to ambush the gunmen at the airport. In the morning, he gives a speech to the team saying, you know, the Olympics were the ancestors' alternative to war. They were like...
Yeah, this is a good speech.
This is a fantastic speech. Basically that instead of killing each other, the better way to determine... who's the best is to run and play all these games, and that's the gist of the Olympics is to see who's the best out of everything. And he says that you guys have to take that spirit on now, and show them that it's still the more honorable option. We go to the day of the 5,000-meter race, and this is, again, the stacked competition. You've got people like Viren from Finland. You got Muhadi? Was that his name?
Yeah, that's his name.
Okay. You've got Stewart from England. There was another Finnish guy and an African, because Muhadi was Egyptian, so yeah, that might have been who I'm thinking
Viren
of.
Was the
Finn.
Then Garmudi.
Gamudi. That's who it is. Yes, it was Gamudi. I can't remember where he was from, though.
And then Gamudi is Tunisian.
Tunisian, okay. And then Stewart is the...
British.
Yeah.
And Stewart.
And then and there's another guy who I can't remember who the other one was. It might have been another Finnish guy. Anyways... So the race gets started, and Steve gets tucked into the middle of the pack, and he's on the inside, so he's boxed in. Right off the get-go, the announcer's saying, this is a really slow pace. Like, nobody wants to go out. It's super pedestrian. This is killing Steve because he wants to go out there and run. He wants to run this race. He wants to take it to everybody. The Finn has the best kick of everyone, Viren. He's got the best kick of everyone, so he's perfectly happy with the slow pace. First lap is slow. The whole race is slow, and Priest still can't get out.
And this annoys me in all. It's not just in this, but like when they do like the speed skating, and they're going at like half speed.
Yeah.
Like it, I get that they're playing games with each other, but it's annoying to watch sometimes. Yeah.
Eventually, the Russian. That's all I got from him. He makes a move to the front of the pack, which opens up a space for Pre to move to the outside.
To get out. Yeah.
He gets up to and he takes the lead, and he picks the pace way up. He's still got the lead with a mile left. Now a mile left in a 3-mile race, that's a long time to keep the lead. Viren the Finn takes the lead with maybe 3 laps left. Excuse me. But Bill doesn't worry because it'll allow Pre to recharge for his last push. Pre makes his move again. He gets back up to the lead. But Viren comes right back up when they come to the bell lap. Gamuti also comes up. He passes Pre as well. So right now we're running Viren, Gamuti, Pre. Pre then comes back at the 200 mark. He starts making his move, but the 200 mark is when we're making the turn around the track. So he's on the outside trying to run with people who are taking fewer strides to cover the same distance. It's very hard to pass somebody on the turn. And you can, you see it in this. We're coming to the final 100. Viren takes the lead back from Gamuti. He starts hitting his kick. Gamuti stays in second. Viren finishes first with Gamuti taking second. And then Pre gets beaten out in the last 10 meters by Ian Stewart for the bronze. He is super disappointed. He takes fourth place. He ran one of the best races. I think they got a world record in this race. That might not be right. No, they ran it slow in the first, so it wasn't a world record. Then we go back to real life, and Steve is living in a trailer now. Mary comes to visit because he won't answer his phone.
Same trailer I lived in before.
Yep.
Yeah. Now he has a dog.
Now he's got a dog. He asks her why she's there, and she asks where all his medals and pictures are. She says he was great in Munich, and he scoffs at her. And she goes, well, you can beat Viren next time. And he goes, who told you I could beat Viren? And she's like, you did, you dumb fuck. Steve goes to work. He's working at a bar. Bill shows up at the bar. He's like, what the fuck are you doing here? He's like, this is like all the other great runners. They don't even have to worry about working. They can just go out there and run every day and practice. I gotta make a living. Because the AAU gives you $3 a day, and that is not enough to live on, even in 1970 terms. They talk out back about Steve getting back to racing. They talk about the race in Munich. Bill tells him that his problem is vanity, and Steve gets upset about this. Bill says that Steve has talent beyond measure. He's like, you think you don't have talent, but you could train all you want, and if you don't got the talent, you're not going to run a 69 split. Like, you have to have talent in order to do what you do.
Like, the bones in your feet are like unbreakable, and probably pumps more blood than anyone in the world.
Yep, Steve,
you're a superhero.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Steve says that who does he think he is? He thinks he knows Steve better than himself. He's like, you don't know me better than myself. Then we cut to Bill. He's giving his normal first speech of the season to his team. It's the same speech he gave the first time we met him.
Running, one might say,
yes,
is basically an absurd pastime upon which to be exhausting ourselves. But if you can find meaning in the kind of running you have to do to stay on this team, chances are you'll be able to find meaning in another absurd pastime, life.
Yes. It's February of 1973, and then the entire group of kids, they stop paying attention because Pri is there. And Bill turns around and Pri asks, can I work out with the team? So he's got to be... He graduated already, you said.
Yeah, so 73, I think he has just
He probably graduated
this is the next year.
Yeah,
the incoming class when he was a senior the year before.
Okay.
This commercial is the worst thing on television right now.
That thing?
Yeah.
Luckily, I've never heard
Why
it.
Why do you hate the Thunder? All right, that's all I gotta say.
Because these are their stars. These nobodies.
So Bill tells him, you're always welcome to run them with the team, but immediately says, I don't want you running with the team. I will be your coach, but I don't want you running with anybody else. I don't want anybody to see you run. Okay. He's going to face Viren again in Montreal at the next Olympics. And that's the next time you're like basically, that's your next big, big race. Steve writes Mary a letter telling her he distanced himself because he hated himself after Munich and he couldn't trust himself to say nice things to someone he loved. And then we get the big, one of the bigger known things. This is why I know it's not the movie I watched first, because this race, this whole setup, the promotional race at Hayward Field to raise funds for the team.
Yeah.
This was a much bigger issue in the Prefontaine movie.
Yeah, you were saying it's something to do with like attracting other people to come in and stuff.
Basically,
and they do.
He wanted to bring Viren to Oregon to have a pre-race before Montreal. Yeah. But they didn't come. So he just got all the best runners that he could think of. He's going to run the promotional race at Hayward Field to help raise funds to fix it up. Steve then goes to Bill's office and he asks for some advice about his relationship with his wife. Bill basically says, I don't know what the fuck she's thinking. And she goes, perfect. That's exactly what I want to hear. Like, what the?
Okay.
Bad advice. Bad advice. Like, know what your wife is thinking, people. Know what your wife is thinking.
I feel like these two are like made for each other, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see that. We go to the day of the race, and Pri is very nervous, and he's under the bleachers, and he's throwing up. And the guy's, his friend is there. He's like, what are you doing?
It's like an exhibition.
Yeah, it's just an exhibition. He's like, I don't know why I thought I could still run with these guys. And first off, they're not, like, they're also, they're great runners from the past, but they're not like.
It's all the guys who already beat in the earlier college races.
Yeah. So the announcer is announcing everybody. He finally says Pri's name. The crowd goes absolutely wild. He's still under the bleachers, but you can hear them like pounding on the seats. He finally makes his way to the track, and the crowd just erupts. They're ready for him. The race starts, and Bill notices that Pri and Shorter, who's the second place guy, are working together to cut the wind. Every two laps, they trade the lead, so one will take the lead so that they cut the wind for the other one. Coming up on the second to last lap, Shorter's supposed to take the lead, and he doesn't. And Pri's like keeps looking behind him. He's like, come on, take the lead, go. And Shorter's just not going to do it because he wants to win this race by himself. He's finally going to beat him. Yeah, why not?
Which, go ahead. There's something I just read that I thought was crazy.
Okay. So coming to the bell lap, Shorter finally takes the lead. He gets about a 10-yard lead on the backstretch. And they get to the 200 meters and Pri starts making his move. And he's able to outkick Shorter, just barely beats him at the line. I think he's got him by maybe like 2 or 3 meters, very close to the line to win this race. You were gonna.
In his 4 years at Oregon, Prefontaine never lost a collegiate race at 3 miles, 5,000 meters, 6 miles, or 10,000 meters. Returning for his senior year, he ended his collegiate career with only 3 defeats in Eugene, all at the mile. So 3 miles or longer, he never lost in college.
So, well, yeah.
Three miles,
5,000.
6 miles, 10K.
What's 16 times 3? 48? Yeah, so 3 miles or longer. Yeah, you were right.
Never lost a race in college.
Which is absolutely bananas.
Yeah.
Just bananas.
Oh, Enrique, he's playing Albany.
So he wins that race. Mary leaves immediately after the race. He sees her leaving. He's not very happy about her leaving, but whatever. Pri then goes to see Bill because he was offered $200,000 to turn pro. But if he turns pro, that means he can't go to Montreal. He can't go to the Olympics.
If he turns pro, does he live?
Maybe.
No. Still, I don't think that matters too much. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he's not at that party. Maybe he's training off in some, I don't know.
Someplace nicer. I don't know. Shit, where'd it go?
Mary's leaving.
He notices that Bill's making shoes again, and Bill has these new prototypes, and he's like, I made these specifically for your feet. Bree puts them on, and he's like, all right, I'm going to go, like, give me a minute. I got to go see something. And he goes for, like, what seems probably for, like, an hour-long run. He's like, I ran to the quarry. I'm sorry. I lost track of time. The quarry doesn't seem too close, does it?
Quarries are never close to anything. That's why they're quarries.
So he gets back, and he starts taking the shoes off, and he asks Bill, you know, can you make me some of these? He's like, what for? He's like, well, I'm going to need them if I'm going to train for Montreal. So Bill immediately cracks a smile. He's super happy. He's like, all right, he's not going to go pro. He's going for the Olympics again. Perfect.
Yeah, because even Bill is like, oh, you kind of got to take
$200,000. Exactly. Like, come on. Pri asks about the other stuff on the table, and because he sees a logo, and he's like, what's this? And he goes, oh, that's for my company, Nike. It stands for the Greek god of... Greek goddess of victory, yeah.
Why are all these check marks on these things?
Do you guys know that in the UK... they pronounce it Nike.
Well, that's silly.
Yep. But that's because that's how it was marketed when it first came to the UK. It was pronounced Nike when it first came to the UK. Wasn't it also
like, isn't Adidas actually pronounced like Adidas?
Adidas. Because it's the Dassler or the, oh shit, I can't remember what their name is. The family name, I think it was Adi. I think his first name was Adi, and then Dassler was his last name, but Adidas family. Yep. Adolf Adi Dassler.
Don't see too many Adolfs these days.
Well, that's because he was born. He fought in Germany in fought for Germany in World War One.
Fought for Germany.
In World War One.
No, in World War One.
Yes.
The Kaiser. He fought with the Kaiser.
Yeah. Still not great, but you don't even know that reference, do you?
I've never seen the movie, but yeah, I know enough. Fucking knew it. Oh, it would be completely rude if I did see that movie because I know who he is.
What's really funny is I actually just watched that movie recently. Great. It was really good.
Would it still be enjoyable knowing the end?
Do you know the end?
That what's his name is Kaiser Sose.
I don't know who's boss is.
And he doesn't. He what? Doesn't have a limp
I'm sorry.
Anymore.
I'm sorry.
All of a sudden, he doesn't have a limp.
So yeah, you do know it.
Great movie. Doesn't matter if you know the ending.
Usual Suspects. Is that what it is?
Yes, great movie. Unfortunately, Bryan Singer, I think, directed that.
Who's Bryan Singer?
The X-Men guy who's under all the fire for being a creeper and weirdo. Mm. But and also, what's his face? Kaiser Sose himself.
Yeah.
Oh, is he the one in it?
He's also got he's
Kevin Spacey.
He's done some creepy stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's done some illegal stuff. Yeah.
He's done, yeah. So it seems relatively soon after that, Pri goes to a party, finds Mary, he's talking to her, he finally is able to get close to her and they start making out in the bathroom. But his friend, I don't remember which friend this is. He's
I think
like
it's his Stanford.
His
rival guy there.
Yeah.
Isn't it Shorter?
It's not Shorter.
Oh, maybe it is Shorter.
Okay, we'll say it's Shorter. Why not? Shorter just had his wisdom teeth removed 4 days ago, so this guy is just in pain. He is in pain.
Yeah, it was in fact Shorter.
And he's like,
actually in this movie.
Yeah, he's like, dude, you have to take me home. My mouth is killing me. Take me home because. Pri is supposed to be his designated driver, apparently. So Pri is in the bathroom making out with Mary, and they hear some moaning, and he opens the shower curtain, and there's Shorter in the shower just with ice on his face. He's like, take me home. So Pri says, Mary, don't go anywhere. I'll be back. I'm going to take him home. So he takes him home, and he's telling... on the entire ride home, he's telling about, you know, I'm gonna break the world record by 12 seconds, and this is exactly how I'm gonna do it.
And I liked this plan. I would have liked to see how this worked out.
Yeah. So he drops off his friend. He's like, 10 a.m. tomorrow, right? He's like, the guy's holding his face. He's like, yeah, maybe. I'll tell you when I can do it.
Oh, man.
To go for a run.
A quick 10.
Yeah, quick 10. Steve starts driving back to the party, and he's imagining the race, and he's just talking about the race. First lap, I'm going to do this, and then second lap, I'm going to do this, and the third lap. And he's just, he looks tired. It kind of looks like they were trying to insinuate that he might have been drinking.
Well, that is like a...
He was definitely drinking.
A known thing is that there's at least reports that
he was
his blood was high, but the police like never released it.
Yeah.
He was definitely drinking.
Yeah. So I do like the way that they like put it out there. Like, this is probably... But we're not going to come right out and... Because they didn't show him drinking during the party.
Not really.
Yeah.
It has been reported that his blood alcohol content was found... by the Eugene Police Department to be 0.16. The official cause of death was traumatic asphyxiation. No other injuries contributed to his death.
So he rounds a corner, and he sees a car cross the median into his lane. So he wrenches, he slams on the brake, wrenches his steering wheel to the left to cross the lane himself. And then he hits the rock face on the other side, and his car flips over. And Steve Prefontaine died on May 30th, 1975. We see Bill receive a call in the middle of the night. And then we see Frank, who is his friend, who he told about. It must be Frank Shorter. That must be his name.
It is Frank Shorter. Yes,
yeah.
It is Frank Shorter.
About how he was going to run the... like a new world record in 12:36.
You're just going to run 63 every lap for 12 laps.
Yeah. And Frank tells everybody how he wanted to set this new record, and he says that the eulogy is going to be timed to that exact amount so that Pre can have his record. We see Bill get up and he tells how Steve hated the fact that like somebody who goes out there and runs his hardest can still lose a race, and somebody who coasts for the first couple laps, and then can still win the race after somebody else went out there and gave it everything from get-go. Bill concedes that the real reason for running is not to win, but to test the limits of the human heart and body, which is what Steve was always trying to do when he ran. And then we get the movie ends with a montage of pre-running. We see the clock being stopped at 12:36, and Bill saying that Pre got his record. There was like writing on the still image at the end of the movie, the way they do, but I can't remember what it was. I know one of them was Mary. She's an author now. She's living in Oregon. And then another one is about Bill and Nike went on to
help to start Nike.
Yeah. And how even his wife took over when he got sick or died or something. And then there was another one, and I can't remember what it was. Oh, the AU was kaput because of Pre 3 years later. AAU is no longer in charge of amateur status for racing.
Yeah.
Because it was a very corrupt, very, very corrupt. So
okay,
that is Without Limits. I meant to do the eBay war very early on.
Oh, okay.
Totally forgot about it and skipped over it. Okay. So we're going to do it now. It is in the document you got there.
I got it.
Yeah. So it is Steve Prefontaine, article, The World, Coos Bay, Oregon, May 3rd.
Which is his hometown.
Yep, May 3rd, 1969, photo portrait. So this is basically a newspaper clipping that has 7 pictures of Steve Prefontaine. And it's kind of like going through... just different aspects of his life. Like, he worked at the gas station. There's a picture of him running. There's a picture of him in school. couple pictures of him in school, maybe even a girlfriend. And it says, Steve Prefontaine, portrait of a champion, national prep, 2 mile, in 8:41.3?
0.5, I think.
0.5, yep. The description for this says, Steve Prefontaine article, The World, Coos Bay, Oregon, May 3rd, 1969, photo portrait of a champion. Very rare Steve's senior year in high school news coverage of his life in Coos Bay, Oregon. Interesting that he worked at a gas station. Newspaper lists his family home on 921 Elrod, which is central Coos Bay. Please take some time to look over all the photos, blah, blah, blah. What do you think the... Well...
I believe Bill is killing me.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely destroyed.
He's like a three-game lead.
Let me bring that up, because that's something I don't have.
I'm just
open right now.
Destroyed.
You, Bill, are up 9-7 on Ryan.
A two-point lead.
Yeah.
This is oddly specific. Was there a fuller description, or that was that?
That was the whole description. I will say that the price is what seems to be the current bid.
See that? So it's not necessarily asking price?
Highest bidder right now.
That's what he's going with. Yeah, because it was a different price last night when I looked it up.
This is oddly specific enough that it's going to be more money than it should be for an old newspaper clipping.
Mm.
$250.
Okay.
Huh.
Ryan?
I don't have a clue what to guess. I'm going to guess $96.
Oh, you are both over.
Okay.
Okay.
Bill, go ahead.
I'll say $62.
I'll say $42.
Bill, can you say what you said again?
I said $43.
No, what did you say? You said
$62.
$2. Ryan, you are our winner.
Yeah.
Bill, go a little bit lower. It was $61. When I looked it up last night, I'm pretty sure it was $59.87.
Wow.
But Ryan, you are our winner for this week.
61 even now?
61 even now.
That's annoying.
That's annoying for you.
Mm-hmm.
It sure is.
I've cut the lead to 1.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Oh my God, these guys are feisty.
Did we not record last week or the week before? We recorded last week.
Yeah. We did Major League 2.
Yeah. Yeah. Did we have a couple weeks in between Major League and Major League 2?
No.
Yes.
No weeks.
Yes, because...
Oh, did we do the first one before?
Yeah, because you were on vacation.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You went on vacation.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was last week? The 15th or something? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So, yeah, Bill is now up 9-8 in eBay Wars against Ryan.
Nice. Do you know Tom Cruise was supposed to play Prefontaine?
Boo! That would have been fucking awful.
He was too, quote-unquote, too old for the role, so he didn't take
good.
He's too busy playing high school football, making all the right moves.
Prefontaine did not get injured for real by having sex with Amy Jo Johnson. He got hurt from jumping into a hotel pool.
Oh, yeah. I did hear that story. Yeah. But it's more fun to hear him having...
Is there a quote mountain better than...
Yeah, what do we got for quote mountain?
Running is an absurd pastime.
I have his one about the Olympics, but it's a long one. So
that is really a really long one.
All of his
yeah.
quotes are long.
Yeah. Yes. But those are the best quotes. The two best quotes are going to be the running is an absurd pastime and the Olympics quote. There was really nothing else.
I mean, there was some good stuff in his eulogy, but that's not.
What's the Olympics quote again?
This killing of Israel athletes is an act of war. And if there's one place that war doesn't belong, it's here. 1,200 years. From 776 BC to 393 AD, your fellow Olympians laid down their arms to take part in these games. They understood there was more honor in outrunning a man than in killing him.
I like this
one. I hope
one.
The competition will resume, and if it does, you must not think that running, or throwing, or jumping is frivolous. The games were once your fellow Olympians' answer to war. Competition, not conquest. Now, they must be your answer.
I like that one.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just gonna say Olympic speech. Okay. Do we have a suggestion for MVP?
Matthew Lillard.
Iowa's finest?
Matthew Lillard's friend. It's got to be Don Sutherland, right?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know who else it even would be.
Don Sutherland's coach, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be him.
So Bill Bowerman, all right.
Or maybe the AAU guy. He was important.
The shitty AAU coach. Yeah. Taking bribes?
Taking bribe. $10,000 bribe.
Or should it be the guy that won the gold medal?
I mean... Oh, Viren?
That's your MVP.
Viren?
Wow. Wow.
I do like that he get so the AAU guy got a $10,000 bribe to have Pri and his two running mates show up for the one race when Pri and his two running mates would get $3 a day for all expenses for going to these races.
The corruption
for going to
of
that race.
The AAU and the NCAA still exists.
Yeah.
We never talked about his girlfriend being in Con Air on the air, did we?
No, we didn't. We mentioned that.
She's my MVP.
She's your MVP.
She was in Con Air.
Mary.
I mean, it's something.
Mary's my MVP. Not really. But okay. Next review, Bill.
Wait. We gotta rate it.
We gotta rate this.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. When it said 2 hours about running, I thought, oh God, I want to run instead of watch this movie. But it was not bad. So I'll give it a 6.7.
Okay.
I was leaning lower. Say 6.2.
Okay. Let's see. 6.7. 6. Fucking A.
That German right there.
Plus 6.2, you said?
Yes.
I think that's too low. I think Ryan was closer with 6.7. But I am going to, looking at what is around that, I'm going to give it a 6.9 because that's Love and Basketball score.
Okay. I think it's lower than that. But
I think it's worse than Love and Basketball. We will re-rank
again.
So
what did we end up with this one?
So equals...
What was it? 6, 2, 9, and 7?
Yep. Divided by...
So 6, 6?
3. Yep, 6, 6.
It's fine.
6.6, so that's just under Dodgeball.
Okay.
And it is tied with Rookie of the Year.
Should be lower
than Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. We don't need to re-rank them now. All right, calm down.
I guess I just like Ron real, Dagger, like Ron, more. Ronnaker.
You love these Disney
you
movies.
Say,
no,
you
I
could argue it's a better story. In
yes,
real life,
it is a much better story.
A worse movie.
It is not a worse movie.
What's a better story than a kid making the major leagues at the age of 12
and saying and here getting an adult doctor to say funky butt loving?
Oh my God.
And building a boat.
And he did build a boat. You may have lost him.
Daniel Stern was not in this movie at all.
Yeah, there was no Daniel Stern this
movie. But we got Matthew Lillard.
Who's good, but he's no Daniel Stern.
Wow. He's like the new Daniel Stern.
He
like
wishes.
I could see him being Daniel Stern's son.
Sure.
Right?
What? No.
Couldn't you see
he's par not, Daniel Stern?
He, all right.
The
you
disappointing
see,
son, yeah.
Think about
disappointing.
Think about Daniel Stern, tall, lanky, goofy motherfucker. That's Matthew
I
Lillard.
What you're saying,
that's Matthew
that's,
Lillard.
He's not the same.
A disappointing son. Oh God.
All right, Bill, you are up next.
You're up.
What are we picking?
So I
do you
want
you wanna spin a wheel?
No, I don't want to spin a wheel. Still too many things. So I was thinking of closing the loop on Major League, but there's another more important movie we haven't watched, and it is available,
Space
and it's
Jam
not Slapshot.
Is it Goon 2?
No, we got to do that, too. Oh, we will be watching Varsity Blues, the
football
movie.
Wow.
I, honest to God, am not sure I've seen this all the way through.
I, honest to God, I'm not sure I've seen it in a decade or more, but
it's
I've
been a while,
seen
but
it
you used to watch it
dozens
all the time.
Of times.
Been a while.
Can we get you to say all the
Creed,
squares?
Right? Creed?
I mean, if I'm doing a direct quote, I'm going to have to.
Been a while. It's not actually Creed in this movie. A lot of swears in this movie, and used to say all the swears.
It's Scott Stapp. It's not. Yeah, it's not.
Fire that effing pigskin.
Fire that. Yeah, I was forced to say that a lot of times.
You had to say that a lot. Fire that effing pigskin. All right, that's it. Varsity Blues next time.
Hang on,
that's
gonna
be a good one.
Hang on, yes.
All right, we're done. Peace out.
Ding, ding.
I forgot you did that.